Hey, TGIF, everybody. It is Rumor Innuendo Friday, and I'm happy to have with me here, as usual, Robert Karpolis, former WWE writer and WWE underscore creativeish on X. Robert, happy Friday, brother.
Happy Friday from WWE creative underscore ISH.
Did I do it again? You did it again.
I love it. It's great. It's your new shtick. It's your thing. Happy for you guys to be here today. It's Friday. It's a great day. I got Wordle in two today, guys. So we're really, things are happening here. Let's shout out, guys. The chat room, as a reminder, is open. Travis Wadlow says, gentlemen to you too. Tip of the hat. Hello. Joseph Wade Walters. Hello, Robert and Dom. Love to hear it. And Greg Jacobson says, nice hat, Dom. Got the same one. He's wearing a Jets hat, so I think Greg is cyberbullying him. Because nobody is happy about a New York Jets hat. We're happy you're here on podcast heat, ad-free shows, SE Scoops, wherever you are joining us, wherever you're watching, listening live. Thank you. As a reminder, chat's open. Dom, we got a ton of stuff to talk about here. But right at the bat, I just want to make sure this comment from Antonio Santos said, happy Friday, gents. Anyway, we got tickets to the TK Twitter show today. This is probably because Tony Khan did not win Booker of the Year. We are going to save the Wrestling Observer vote stuff for Monday's show because we just got too much to talk about today.
We have a lot on tap, and like even stuff that Robert sent to me, that we have so much stuff to go over. So we're meaning to talk about the reported offer that Scott D'Amore made to TNA. It was a big money deal, actually. And then Austin Theory, SmackDown, not literally, but SmackDown, Australian reporter, keeping it kayfabe, baby. We're going to talk about the WWE 2K24 removal of Brock Lesnar and Vince McMahon, or is it? Then we also are going to touch upon those John Cena and Randy Orton comments about Vince McMahon that got published a couple days ago. But first, Robert, we got a preview. Elimination Chamber. It's down in Perth. R-Truth accidentally went to Austria instead of Australia. So he just posted that on Instagram. Best travel wishes to R-Truth right now. Hopefully he makes it on time. But let's cover the show. We kind of gave our predictions throughout most of the week, but we'll solidify them here. We got the men's match. It's going to be Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley versus LA Knight versus Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton. We've made our predictions on this one pretty solid, Robert, but how do you think this is all going to lay out there in Australia? And what do you think is going to happen ultimately there?
So kudos to Seth Rollins, who has been doing a lot of press all over there in Australia, and he's trying to build the narrative that he wants Randy Orton. There's 0% chance this is going to be anything other than Drew, short of some sort of, you know, last minute injury, which obviously we hope doesn't happen. But Seth trying to say, hey, I hope this is going to be Orton, is even him realizing they didn't even set up another viable challenger for him in this match. And guys, that's okay. And I've said this about this show before, this Elimination Chamber pay-per-view premium live event. Sorry, for the old habits die hard.
Wow, belt. That's your belt, Robert.
That's my belt. Yes. Calling it a pay-per-view when most of you are paying like $5 or less to watch this show. But it's okay if something is predictable in a satisfying way. When you go to see a movie, you kind of know what's going to happen in the end. You go see a Marvel movie, 9 times out of 10, the good guy is going to win, and you're okay with that. So it's okay. I'm giving you permission. Dom's giving you permission, even in his ridiculous Jets hat, that you can be happy with predictable endings on this show because they are logical. We're not in the Vince McMahon world of, goddamn, we gotta shake it up. Not doing that here. Not shaking it up. It's going to be Drew. Drew and Seth is the story. Any reason you disagree with this, Dom?
No, not at all. I think Drew is the safe bet. I think to your point about Seth Rollins trying to create that intrigue that, hey, maybe Randy Orton, he wants Randy Orton. You know, and obviously Randy Orton would not be a bad puzzle piece to fit in there whatsoever. But from just the story standpoint and the momentum that Drew is riding on and where it's all going, it's got to be Drew, I think. I'm looking at, I pulled up the betting odds real quick. And obviously we are not a betting website, but with Drew McIntyre is minus 2,000 to win the the whole shebang. So that's
well, there you go. And another reason why Drew winning makes a lot of sense is it sends a good message to your locker room. You know, you have The Rock back and people are literally like, oh, he's taking somebody's spot. Drew is a guy who seemed lost in the shuffle for the last, I'd say, year and change through no fault of his own, but he's been given an opportunity to find his own voice in this new Triple H era. He's been given the ball and he's run with it. And he went from, I don't really want to see Drew McIntyre, to this is the most entertaining character they have on TV. And he absolutely earned an opportunity to be in this spot. And I think that's important.
Right. It kind of shows you too. Yeah. That with this new regime too, you're putting, if you put the effort in to make yourself stand out, it's going to pay off for you. It does. You won't have anything like going in your way and getting out, you know, like anything thwarting it, minus somebody like The Rock coming in potentially, but otherwise you're good to go. Yeah. But let's cover the Women's Elimination Chamber match too, Robert. And this one, it also feels like a surefire bet. It's Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair versus Raquel Rodriguez versus Liv Morgan versus Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton. Robert, what do you expect to have happen in this match? We've discussed Becky Lynch is probably the surefire bet here. Anything that you might think that might be a little unpredictable that going into this?
Sure. So I think Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley is again the surefire bet. Again, barring some sort of injury, they're not going to change their trajectory, their plans there. That's a strong match. That's a poster match. They always talk about those matches you can put on a poster for WrestleMania. It is a great thing to have a women's match that fits at the top of a WrestleMania poster. And people would say, this belongs there, not because you need a women's match at the top, but because this is a marquee match between two people that the audience wants to see. That being said, I think that you look at some of the other women that are in this match, they have avenues and opportunities to advance to Mania. You can take Bianca and team her up with Naomi, have them go after the tag team titles. Because remember, it's Asuka and Kairi Sane. That's a strong match right there.
Yeah.
You've got Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, who have established that they were a tag team before. They could reunite, go after the tag titles. Tiffany Stratton, you'll find a spot for her. I think she's someone who is such a bright star right now. They'll find an interesting opportunity for Tiffany at some point in Mania. So none of the women really have to worry too much about getting severely lost in the shuffle. But because there's only two titles that are available for to be defended, only so many people get an opportunity. And Bayley and Iyo, which is getting a little lost in the shuffle, absolutely deserves that spot and that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you think about all those talents that are in there and those are a lot of plug in and play kind of things. Like you could, if need be, if somebody did get hurt, like God forbid, like Becky Lynch got hurt or somebody like that, Bianca Belair would make total sense to be in a main event with Rhea Ripley. You could even hype up Tiffany Stratton enough by that point to make sure to kind of give that kind of feeling like, ooh, new, fresh, good competitor kind of thing. So there's a lot of different things that take, but I think Becky, surefire bet to kind of have happen here. She is a box office star. Why not ride that momentum as she's going? Plus, you have the book coming out, like her biography coming out. The
book's out now.
Is the book out right now?
Book's out. Yeah. So
there we go. The book's
not, already out. Not on my shelf behind me. Haven't ordered the Becky Lynch book, but it'll be forthcoming.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and say that. There's still more matches on this. It's only a four match show, except they just added a fifth one to the pre-show. But yeah, didn't even see that. You're the news guy. You're the dirt sheet writer. I'm the dude that just shows up in a box like 20 seconds before we go on. And I'm just like, I'll do it by the Cody. I'm like, what do you want to talk about? You know, they added a women's tag match. It's the Kabuki Warriors against Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae, which is great that Indy's going to get a chance to wrestle in front of her countrymen, countrywomen. It's a hard phrase to say and make it seem PG, but there it is. I don't see a title change there, but that's beside the point. Two more matches, Dom. Let's keep it rolling.
Let's keep it rolling. Yeah. So you talk about a tag title match. There is a tag title match on the card. It's Judgment Day defending their tag belts again. Tag titles against the Catch New Republic.
Robert, New Catch Republic.
New
Dude,
Catch
you
Republic.
Are. You, this is look. I had a previous co-host that could not say the name Chavo, and he would say Chavo. I got you calling him Catch New Republic.
Catch him.
Yes, it's great. That's probably what like Bruce is calling, because Bruce is not good with names. Like, get the new old outlaws out there.
The new old outlaws. Well, Robert, this might be this could potentially maybe be an upset, right? Or what do you kind of lay out? This might be the surprise of the evening. Or
I don't see it being the shift, because I still think the money is the Awesome Truth against Judgment Day at Mania. You need a spotlight for Priest and Finn. You need a reason for those guys to be on the card. The situation with R-Truth and MVP. Wow. And Miz is a nice emotional moment. You've got a couple of potential matches going into Mania where you're going to get that emotional catharsis, whether it's Bayley overcoming the damage control situation, Cody finally finishing his story, Drew getting a chance to win a title in front of a large audience, the Raw women's title situation, which will be clearer on Monday, potentially Gunther, his reign ending with Sami Zayn. Then you've got this here where I pitched this, I think on Wrestle Roast when I was talking, which cheap plug for that show too. I would not be mad if Judgment Day retains, but R-Truth steals the briefcase, and that's what prevents Priest from being able to cash in at Mania. I think that's a kind of fun little moment that may potentially theoretically happen. I do not know anything, but I'm just hypothesizing here. I'm just speculating, baby, as my former coworker, the American Dream, would say. But the speculation is rampant. It's rampant here, Dom. It's Friday, dude. It's goofy day. This is a goofy day. We're here. We're having fun. There's one more match to talk about.
Yes. Robin, what do you think about
No, you can't do it too.
What's your thoughts? Then it just turns
into a show with people with speech impediments. And then we're in a totally different category. Maybe we get subsidized if that's the case. Like, we're, you know, bring it on.
So maybe I should do it. Nia Jax versus Rhea Ripley for the title. We talked about that one quite a bit too. Rhea Ripley seems like the surefire winner here. No reason to change those titles on that one, huh, Robert?
No, I don't see any situation whatsoever in which Rhea Ripley should lose this title, especially to Nia Jax. I think that Rhea Ripley winning in her home country, her home continent, in front of her audience as a babyface before shifting into the Becky Lynch storyline is going to be emotionally satisfying. It's a satisfying conclusion. And we're all about satisfying conclusions here, Dom, which brings me to our episode today being sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night. When you get up tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. to watch Elimination Chamber, you can pop a Blue Chew so you can plan ahead and be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. Unlike the Elimination Chamber cage itself, which was almost intercepted by pirates, which is a crazy story that we're going to talk about here, your Blue Chew going to get there in a few days. Because guys, Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast.
Thank you very much, Blue Chew. Robert, we're going to go into a different topic, one that we wanted to cover yesterday. The news, well, the two interviews that were done with John Cena and Randy Orton talking about the Vince McMahon allegations. John Cena spoke with Howard Stern on the Howard Stern Show, and he had some quotes. Feel free to stop me anytime. Some of these are a little lengthy, but I'll try to truncate them a little bit here.
Well, I'll truncate them for the sake of truncation. Sure. You had John Cena and Randy Orton, who are both asked about the Vince McMahon allegations. John Cena's response was, Vince McMahon is, you know, has been my friend. He was my friend for a long time, and you support your friends. He's got a hill to climb. That was the John Cena take on it. Randy Orton's take was, I owe Vince McMahon my career, but I read what you all read, and it hurts. I think you're seeing two different versions of guys who see Vince McMahon as a father figure. They see him as someone who has provided them a livelihood, a career. During my tenure when I was there, our three guys that we were building that were selected were John Cena, Batista, and Randy Orton. They were plucked from OVW and said, these are going to be our guys by the hand of Vince McMahon. And he has made them millionaires multiple times over. It's very tough to reconcile that with what you read in those allegations. Cena was criticized more than Orton. Orton's response felt a little bit more human. I understand where they're both coming from. As the lawyer, in my mind, we've only seen the complaint. We have not seen the response. We don't know what Vince's response to these allegations are going to be. I doubt significantly there's going to be something in there that's going to truly change opinion. But at the same time, you still have to give somebody the benefit of the doubt within the confines of the law to be able to present his position. So Cena can't go guns a-blazing and say, scorched earth, to hell with Vince. Orton's is like, look, if this is true, ooh, that's rough. It's tough. A lot of these guys are going to be asked these questions in the weeks leading up to WrestleMania. A lot of information is going to be coming out in the next several weeks, I'm sure, going forward on the Vince allegations, but they're trying the best that they can. Cena, unfortunately, has a history of not always saying the right things in interviews. Remember some of the China situations that had happened previously. He tries to be diplomatic, like the Rock. And in this case, Dom, it went a little too diplomatic, potentially.
Yeah, difficult waters to wade. And, you know, like, I'm with you. I understand. And like, it can kind of put myself in that own position that I'm thinking about, like, you know, somebody that maybe I looked up to, a father figure, and like they got close to. And if they, you know, trying to delineate all that in your head of the person that you thought you knew, and then what you want to believe, and then in transition to what you're seeing and reading, it's difficult. I think Orton did a better job at conveying what he was saying and the emotions that go into it. Cena tried, but obviously there was a little bit more of like, hey, I want to be there for my friend and I want to help the company kind of thing, rather than, you know, the whole realm of it all considered. So yeah, very difficult stuff, Robert. And
difficult stuff. Not the thing I would have come out of the Blue Chew ad with, but hey, no. You're steering the ship, man. We're moving along here. We've got a hell of a lot more stuff to talk about, and like almost no time left. So let's keep it rolling.
Keep rolling. The WWE 2K24 piggybacking off of this, Brock Lesnar and Vince McMahon removed as playable characters on the game. The over 200 roster members on there, from legendary to current members, but Lesnar and Vince are not on there. But there is a source from GameSpot that happened to say that that didn't rule out that they're just not still going to be on the game. We're always in lockstep with WWE on how our game reflects what's happening in the WWE universe. The source said certain personalities play a role in the historic 2K showcase in the narrative driven My Rise experience, but are not available on the playable roster. So Robert, sounds like maybe they might be on the game still, but you just can't play as them.
Well, you can't remove them if they've already been programmed into the game, but you can conceal them and hide them. I think the Vince McMahon removal makes a lot more sense because of the allegations directly against him. The Brock Lesnar piece is a separate can of worms, but just from a pure enjoyment of playing a game standing, Brock's always been a fun character to play in those WWE games. So losing him from that, losing him as part of the 40 years of WrestleMania narrative, because he was part of so many iconic matches and moments in Mania, it's going to sting a little bit, but completely understand where WWE is coming from. They need to try to distance themselves from the situations. They need to treat these allegations not only seriously, but treat them as if they are true and respond accordingly. We'll see how it goes. It's a shame because the game roster looks insanely strong. Right. A lot of really fun legends. I mean, even if you just look at the Legends roster on that, that's a fun Legends game right there before you're even getting into the Raw, SmackDown, and NXT folks. 2K has really stepped it up. They've made some really great games over the last few years. I'm excited for 2K24. I know that some of the folks that are working on this behind the scenes have put a lot of effort into it. The Brock piece is, it's challenging. It's challenging for how they can go forward with this. It was challenging for them selfishly and stupid. And again, this, when I'm saying stupid, this is minimally stupid. But one of my favorite things is going into the Royal Rumble, the By the Numbers video package. And they showed it on Raw before these allegations came out. Brock, obviously, all over that thing. When he wasn't, they had to recut this sucker, remove Lesnar entirely. It's challenging. I've been in that environment there where you have to kind of edit on the fly, but it's rough. Dom, what do we got next?
Yes, it was challenging a little bit for Austin Theory. He was put in a challenging position down in Australia. He did an interview with an Australian outlet, and the guy straight up said, asked him, isn't it fake? And Austin Theory had some words for him. Ended the interview after that, too. Did not stick with it. Grayson Waller actually did this a few weeks ago, too, on a morning show in Australia with LA Knight sitting beside him. I like this stuff. You got to keep the reality there. You got to kind of defend what you're doing, and you don't want to make it seem like it's lesser than something like a UFC or anything like that, Robert.
They're passionate about what they do. They treat their art form seriously. They're putting their lives on the line. And in 2024, when someone's going out there and saying this is fake, you're telling on yourself. You're showing that you are remarkably ignorant about understanding what it is that you're watching. You are allowed escapism. You are allowed to watch this in the same way you can watch a Marvel movie. I'll use that example again. Billions of dollars made there. Almost any form of entertainment that you have, you are allowed to suspend disbelief and enjoy what you're watching. But wrestling is uniquely situated because these guys are putting their lives on the line. They're sustaining serious injuries in order to be able to go out there and do that. And when you are a member of the press and you want to do the gotcha nonsense, you're going to get called out for it. You're going to get called out for it rightly. You're not worth the time that those wrestlers are providing for you. And cheers to Austin Theory. Hopefully they don't run the risk of turning a babyface. But guys taking this seriously, Dom, you know, again, he's risking injury. And the worst thing you could possibly do is have one of these guys talk about an injury as if it's real. And then you find out it's fake and being used for a storyline, but not really. Not that I'm transitioning you to any future story or anything, Dom.
Sorry.
Take us wherever you want. I'm not teeing you up for anything in particular.
I am completely oblivious, so I am just going into what I had next on the list. Was Scott D'Amore was reported to make an offer to TNA.
See, that was the tee up for the Hangman Page thing.
Oh,
that was what that was. I'm begging you. I'm going to say this real quick because this is, so the Hangman injury now apparently is a backdoor for them to be able, if they need to remove Hangman due to some family personal matters or whatever it is. If that's the case, you do it overtly on TV. You have him carted out. You have him clutching his ankle, whatever it is, trying to work the smart fans, trying to work the dirt sheets in order to do this, ruins the credibility that's been going on with wrestling journalism over the last few years, where they're providing legitimate updates because we as viewers want to know what's going on with the talent. And when they're saying someone may legitimately be hurt, you don't need to swerve them on that. This does not feel like it was handled well. It does not seem like it was received well. I know Jerry Lynn, who's one of the producers, has expressed his frustration with this whole situation. Just wanted to touch on it here. But Scott D'Amore, who you keep adding extra letters in it, D'Amore, which is sounds D'Amore, it's like when I used to call him QT Marshall, and then it just caught on. What did Scott D'Amore do. D underscore Amore.
Amore. D. That's what I, yeah. Mm-hmm. D Amore offered $10 million to acquire TNA Wrestling, reportedly from Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer. He reported this week, in addition to this, Scott offered to take on all existing debts. Anthem turned down that offer outright without counteroffers being made. The D'Amore group, oh my God, I believed to be company value was between $7 million and $12 million. And then they also report that a meeting will take place at this week's tapings of TNA Wrestling. And it's believed D'Amore will situation will be addressed. Some in TNA believe that Len Asper, the head of Anthem, will be at the meeting. That's a lot of money, $10 million, Robert.
Not for TNA.
You don't think so?
I think there's more value in TNA than $10 million. I think the value for TNA has always been the intellectual property, the tape library. Mm-hmm. When I was at WWE, we were acquiring and had acquired a number of different tape libraries because we were working steadily towards building the WWE network. So we went out and got the NWA footage, the AWA footage, the WCW footage, the ECW footage, Smoky Mountain footage, OVW, a lot of different stuff. The TNA library and the Ring of Honor library are the two libraries that WWE does not have that has significant value to them because a number of their wrestlers have competed in both of those companies. And if you want to be able to tell the full story, the biopic, the cradle to grave of a wrestler, you want every piece of footage. We're seeing the reverse of it with TNA right now, not having any of the Sting footage from his career. And it makes it tough to tell that video package. WWE, if they were able to get their hands on the TNA library, you'd be able to tell the complete story of AJ Styles. You'd be able to make the Robert Roode story whole. There's a lot of great closet matches that exist in TNA that you as a fan most likely did not see because they were on a pay-per-view that was probably a lesser than show, but has one or two real gems in there. Kurt Angle did a significant amount of his work in TNA. You want to be able to highlight and show that. Anthem knows that when push comes to shove, at some point in time, they can always sell the library and WWE will pay for it. The other bidder for that I see being Tony Khan. Tony buying Ring of Honor was one of the smartest decisions he made to get that tape library. The fact that he has not really exploited it beyond Honor Club is him probably hedging his bets. But when he has his streaming rights conversation with Warner Discovery and says, we want to be part of Max, we want to be a subdivision of that, we're going to give you the backlog of Dynamite, of Collision, of Rampage, of our pay-per-views, and also the entirety of the Ring of Honor library. And when content is king right now and everything is in a bidding war, that has inherent value. So getting all the TNA stuff, which has been going on since 2002, 2003, yep, huge. Anthem knows this. That's where the value is. So they're not going to give that up to Scott D'Amore, who's willing to take on the current debts. But, you know, what do I know?
No, great point, Robert. Great point. You know, somebody that's taking on some other types of income might be New Japan, because they have Nick Namath and Matt Riddle have won gold there. So that's their type of income there, is the gold I was getting at.
Oh, I wasn't sure if they both opened up OnlyFans like John Cena yesterday.
That's what I was segueing into.
With Riddle, you never know. Like, yes, it's great that they put the title. Namath won a title. Riddle won a title. Good opportunity to capitalize on big names being out there and part of New Japan. They have to shift the story. And Tanahashi said as much. He's trying to shift the story from, yes, Okada has left. Yes, Ospreay has left. But now look who we've got. We've got Riddle. We've got Nemeth. We're plugging them into the roster that we currently have. We're expanding. A lot of unique matches there. A lot of interesting opportunities. A lot of American eyeballs will now gravitate over to what's going on there in New Japan. Hell of an idea for our friends over there in New Japan. I didn't have a follow-up to that sentence because I did not know what the next topic was. If there was another topic, because, dude, we are
out.
Preciously out of time.
We're almost getting hijacked like the Pirates almost hijacked the Elimination Chamber there.
There you go.
About that. Man, pretty crazy stuff. Maybe we'll have to cover that on Monday. But Robert, yeah, we are out of time. What do you have? What do you have going on? You mentioned Wrestle Roast. You mentioned that. How's that been going for you, huh?
New Wrestle Roast dropped this morning as you're listening to this on Friday, wherever you get your podcast needs. So definitely go give that a listen. And thank you all for catching us here, whether you're watching us on the ad-free shows or Rumor and Innuendo YouTube pages, where you need to make sure you click subscribe, 5 stars, all that good stuff. And we're streaming on X, on Podcast Heat, on SE Scoops. Great place to get some of your wrestling dirt. WWE Creative underscore ISH. The Rumor and Innuendo Twitter account, or Dominic D'Angelo's Twitter account, where you can see him in all of his yellow t-shirt workout glory. But Dom, where else can the fine folks see you?
Yes, you can see me on One of a Kind with RVD every Monday at 4:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this week, this Monday, get ready because Sabu was our special guest. And we talked a lot. Yeah, it's a great episode. So
I got a good Sabu story. I'll tell you next week now.
Yeah, go to rvdtv.com. Check out Gagne and Magnum at gagneandmagnum.com. And yeah, wherever you get your podcast, you check them out. So, hey guys, Robert, it's been fun, man. Happy Friday. We'll yet again.
On behalf of the number one Jets fan, Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpeles. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
See you guys.